Hey friend, thank you for listening to Bible Tract Echoes. I'm Micah McCurry, your host. I greatly appreciate the opportunity I have to speak to you today. I'd like to dive right in just a moment. Grab your Bibles, go to the book of Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, we'll be looking at a familiar passage, but as we begin, I'd like to introduce the topic. We'll be speaking about 21st century evangelism. What does that mean, though? 21st century evangelism. This week, I want to dive into and unpack that thought. When I say evangelism, I mean reaching people for the cause of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, telling people about their need for a Savior. We all have a commission, a great commission that has been given to us as Christians. And I'd encourage you this week to partake in, to take up your mantle as part of the family of God. I've said many a time, but there's always another seat at the table. There's always enough bread. You've heard it said that salvation, the gospel, is just one beggar telling another beggar where they found bread. And it's true. My goal today is not to come to you from ivory towers, to not stand on a soapbox, to not bludgeon you about the head and shoulders with some esoteric or some extra bit of knowledge that I have. I'd like to share the Bible and just a little bit of logic. And so we're going to talk about 21st century evangelism. Are you ready? Look at Luke 15 with me. Here we go. Luke 15. Look at verse number, 23. Familiar passage about the prodigal son. We're going to jump right into the mix here. There's a point I'd like to prove with scripture. I'll give you a few more supporting scriptures in just a moment. Luke 15, 23. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Now, we see in the very next verse, in verse number 28, he was angry, the elder brother, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now, we're not going to make the normal application from this passage. You're familiar with the prodigal son. The young man goes to his father and says, give me my inheritance. And he goes, and with riotous living and through wicked living, he spends all, wastes all that his father gave him. And he ends up feeding the swine and eating of their food. And finally, he comes to the end of himself and comes home, and his father rejoices and praise God for the prodigal son returning. My father-in-law, who many years ago as an older teenager, young 20s, he lived that life. I wrote a song about it called The Old Kitchen Table, where his mother prayed at the old kitchen table, and praise God he came back. But my father-in-law makes mention of the fact, or observes the fact, that there is only one account in scripture of the prodigal son. You wonder, there may have been many more that just never came back. But that's not the application. That's not where we're going. Well, the point I'd like to prove, in short, as we launch into this discussion of 21st century evangelism, I'd like to point out that the father, you could make the case, a placeholder for God, the one who is so excited to see a lost child come home. You realize here, in some ways, he treated these two sons differently. Now, it was not that he disrespected. It was not that he mistreated. It was not that he was unkind to one of his sons. But the elder son, the one who stayed home, the one who did right, the one who just told the lie, did everything he was supposed to do, got a little perturbed. He got a little irritated by the fact that his younger brother gets a hero's welcome when he comes back home. The point I'd like to make is this, that God, just like human parents, we are, of course, made in his image, but God treats people sometimes differently. Realize that our children, I have two girls, Emmy and Lucy, maybe I would not understand this, maybe I would not have the ability to wrap my mind around it if I did not have two girls, but there are times when I speak to my girls, they are 5 and 6 or thereabouts, I speak to them differently. They get disciplined differently. They sometimes need a little bit of prodding, or they need a little bit of correction. They need a little bit of praise differently. They are different creatures. They are both products of my wife and I. The Lord's blessed us with Emmy and Lucy, but they are not the same. Even if they were, as people often confuse them, even if they were twins, which they are not, they just look like it. Even if they were, they still would have subtle differences. And a wise parent, of course, God, the wisest of them all, he realizes that people at times need to be treated differently. You realize, though a fatted calf was killed, though a robe was put around his shoulders, though he was given a ring, though his younger son was treated to a sumptuous occasion, a festive occasion here, you do understand that he had spent all of his inheritance. You realize the father was so very happy to have him home, but it did not undo the damage that had been caused. He welcomed him back with open arms and probably a kiss on his cheek and so happy to see him. But you understand that there were some scars that the prodigal would carry for the remainder of his life. The elder son did not understand this or did not see this in the immediate. He just saw his brother being what seemed to be rewarded. Yes, there was a moment of being treated differently, but you must understand the elder son was still due all of his inheritance. There, over the long haul, the elder son was going to see the returns for the fact that he did not waste his father's living. The two sons were treated slightly differently, were they not? I think of the workmen in Matthew, I think chapter 20 thereabouts. Remember those workmen that came to work, and they came at different times of the day. One comes in the morning, one comes in the mid-morning around noon, one comes in the afternoon, one comes with maybe just a scant hour before it's dark. But somehow they are all paid the same. You say, oh, Brother Micah, this is proof positive that you are wrong. People are not treated differently. No, actually, though they all got the exact same wage, they were treated differently because they all, one, had to work 12, 14 hours, another maybe 10, another 6 or so, another barely an hour, and they all received the same wage. They were truly treated differently. What's the point you're trying to prove, Brother Micah? As we talk about 21st century evangelism, I've already explained my thoughts on evangelism. It's the desire to see people saved for the cause of Christ. It's the desire to explain the scriptures, to preach the gospel. There's so many different ways we could define that. I think we have some understanding of evangelism. But why do I say 21st century? Why put that qualifier on it? Why not just say, we're going to study evangelism. We're going to look at great preachers of the past. We're going to look at great soul winners. Why do we need to talk about 21st century evangelism? Salvation hasn't changed, has it? No, friend. God offers the same salvation to all. But God, like a father, deals with different people in different ways. Now, you could say he deals with people in different ways based on where they're from. That is true. Based on their upbringing, absolutely. God is a very wise and loving and kind father. But at the end of the day, 21st century evangelism, just by dint of the fact that it is now and not 10, 20, 100, or 1,000 years ago, is subtly different. the gospel has not changed, by grace through faith. But as we go forward, speaking about 21st century evangelism, I want to talk about the incredible tools that are available to us. I want to talk about the opportunities. I want to convince you, to compel you, to avail yourself of the fact that in these, what may be the last days before Christ returns, we have a grand privilege of reaching people for the cause of the gospel. And we can do so in a way that our forefathers never could here in the 21st century. That is the goal of this week of broadcasts. So I'd encourage you, if you have a question, a comment, even a critique, I'd love to hear from you. I'd like you to tune in all this week to Bible Tract Echoes. But if you do have a question, whether now or in the future, I'd love to hear from you. Text me, if you would. Text me at 309-316-7240. Again, that's 309-316-7240. Now, as we go forward, I'd like you to think. I'd like you to ponder how you could reach someone this week. Don't put it off. Don't put it into the future. We're talking about 21st century evangelism. Maybe we should just call it evangelism today, evangelism tomorrow. I'm not going to say next week or the month after, because we need to make this a practice. We need to make this a desire in the immediate. I'm going to share some things with you this week that I hope, that I pray will be a help. Before I let you go, let me encourage you to go to BibleTractsInc.org. Our tracks, as always, and will continue to be free. F-R-E-E. BibleTractsInc.org. I'd encourage you right now, go there and order some of A Tribute to Mother. It'd be a great gospel track for you to carry with you in this time frame. A Tribute to Mother. BibleTractsInc.org. If you have any issues whatsoever, I'd love to hear from you. Text me again. That number one more time is 309-316-7240. Now let me leave you with this closing thought. Your impact, I'm speaking spiritually now, your impact is only inhibited by your imagination. We serve a big God. We serve a God that can do marvelous things, and I don't want your imagination to be the inhibitor, to be the reason you don't do big things for God and make a big impact. So I want you to think about, as we conclude, as the announcer comes on and tells you how you can contact us, I want you to think about how God wants you to reach folks for the cause of the gospel. My prayer, as always, it's the same. Every Monday through Friday on Bible Tract Echoes, my prayer is that you have a great day for His glory. And yes, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us today for Bible Tract Echoes, a ministry of Bible Tracts Incorporated. If you would like to receive a free sample booklet of all of our tracts, you can contact us by calling 309-828-6888. That's 309-828-6888. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 130, Dwight, Illinois 60420. A faster way to contact us is to go to our website at BibleTractsInc.org. That's BibleTractsInc.org. There you will find more information about our ministry and details on how you can support Bible Tracts Incorporated. Thanks for listening, and may the Lord richly bless you as you serve Him.